Since creation, God has called men and women to work as part of His plan through our vocation to serve Him. However, there's limitation to our understanding of work. As a result, we often separate work in the marketplace from church and view marketplace as secular and church as spiritual. This dichotomy is neither what God has designed nor what He desires of our lives. Interestingly, the term work in Hebrew, avoda, is used to jointly mean work and worship and other things. And God says, 6 days you shall avoda, but on the seventh you shall rest, Exodus 34. And God asked Moses to speak to Pharaoh, and this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may avoda me, Exodus 8. Study the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, and you'll find that God's original concept for work is for worship and work to come together in a seamless way as part of our living. Work is meant to be an act of our worship, something we do to glorify God, and not just for the purpose of generating income or wealth. Work is important to God. If work is important, then it makes sense for us to be asking God, what is my vocation? Or God, what is my calling? And today, we'll explore two kinds of full-time ministry calling, the call to full-time ministry in the marketplace and the call to full-time ministry in the church. And yes, you heard me correctly, full-time ministry in the marketplace. One of the most important and most neglected reality is how our Christian faith is to be shared and advanced in the marketplace. Today, the marketplace remains the primary place where God has chosen for the church to minister and to proclaim the gospel. After all, this is the place where most of us will be spending one third of our lives, if not even more. So, it should not be surprising that most of us are called to serve God full-time in the marketplace. In the book of Acts, Paul spent most of his time, in fact, in the marketplace. One such example is Paul in Athens, and we were told his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols, and he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Where? In the marketplace. And how often? Every day. Paul was there to reason with them and to bring the gospel to the people in the marketplace. And if we are to embrace God's concept of work as worship, then we need to stop this dichotomy that work is secular and church is spiritual. My friends, marketplace matters to God. And the church needs to reclaim our place in the marketplace today. Now, let me define marketplace. The Greek word for marketplace is agora, which is a place where people come together to trade and to conduct business. In the past, people gathered together in a common place in the town center to meet, to buy, to sell, to trade, and to meet friends. And this is to sell, to trade, and to meet friends. And this is the agora. And so where is our agora today? The marketplace is where you spend most of your time from Monday to Friday. And for most of us, that can be our homes. If you are a homemaker, our offices, our clinics, our hospitals, our courtrooms, our factories, our universities, our schools, our taxis even, and our army camps. And perhaps today we need to include the online platforms as one of our agora. God's plan is for ministry to be carried out by us in our agora. Whether you are a technician, a social worker, a banker, a chef, a taxi driver, a businessman, lawyer, teacher, architect, a doctor, God's intention is for you to minister with your gift and through your gifts, your talent and your vocation, so as to impact your sphere of influence in your agora. Some of you may ask, how do I minister and impact my sphere of influence. Remember, as believers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be disciples of a certain kind. We are called to live a changed and a transformed life, filled with the Holy Spirit. It is with this change and transformed life, my friends, that we become salt and light of our Lord Jesus Christ in our agora, and to bring hope into this place that is filled with so much toxic darkness and hopelessness. Study the letters of Paul and you'll find a large portion of his writings on how the church is to be salt and light in the marketplace. Take for example, some of us may be struggling to control our tongues at work. We use words that we don't use at home with our spouse or children. And some of us are a totally different person at work. Our temper rages at the slightest provocation. I know that because I've been there. And maybe we struggle because we don't have the habit of telling the truth at work. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and you'll see Paul says, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such as this, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So turn to any of Paul's epistles. You will find many instructions that relate to our struggle in the marketplace. Paul instructs us how we are to be salt and light in our marketplace. And some of us may be struggling to give our best at work. And Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So get this right, my friends. Whether we are our own boss or we are a mere worker, while the company may be paying the salary, we give our best because it is the Lord whom we are ultimately serving. And this, my friends, is one of ways in which we express our work as worship to our Almighty God. Being able to live our Christian faith in our agora is important because this is what gives us the right to share the love of Jesus Christ and to proclaim the gospel to the people in our agora. Think about it. Why should anyone be interested in Jesus Christ if all they see in us are people who profess to be Christians but are always unreasonable, always angry, self-centered, has no integrity, no compassion, do not live out Christian values, do not care about the people in the office, and do not love? People who see that in us will never be interested in the God in whom we worship. Truth is, most people hear or experience Jesus Christ for their first time in the agora and not in the church. 2015, I had the opportunity to meet a hotel owner in Kathmandu. We met him because we had needed his support for our relief effort after the two major earthquakes. And realizing that he was a prominent leader of a different faith, we decided that it was important that we inform him that we represent the church. And this was his reply. He said, church is good. I like Christians. That shocked me. As it turns out, an urologist from Maui had shared the gospel with him when he was here for medical consultation. It all started when he noticed something unique and different about this doctor. The way in which he carries himself, the way in which he relates to his patient and to his staff. And over time, he realized that this doctor is a Christian. And he became open to this doctor, and the doctor had the opportunity to share the gospel with him and even to pray for him. And this man said to me, I experienced through your doctor the love of Jesus Christ. I experienced through your doctor the love of Jesus Christ. I'm certain that God has opened the door of his heart to receive Christ because someone lived out his faith in his agora. Surely we have met people like the urologists who are effective in sharing the love of Jesus Christ in our agora. Colleagues, clients, and people in their sphere of influence are ministered to and have given their lives to Christ because of how they boldly lived and share their Christian faith. Now, even though there's still the work element to be fulfilled, our work in the marketplace is more spiritual than you think. We need to reclaim our place in our agora. Consider this interesting fact. 39 out of the 40 miracles recorded in the book of Acts actually took place in the marketplace. Isn't that amazing? That God's power, God's glory revealed in our agora, in your agora. And I believe He will continue to do so if we are faithful to what we are called to. And I want to encourage you today to invite God into your agora as you embrace work as worship. Pray, come, Lord Jesus, come into my agora. And pray for those whom you are working with. No matter how difficult they may be or how much you dislike them or they dislike you, pray and watch how God will move and bring about a change in the spiritual atmosphere in your agora. And pray for ourselves too. Pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us. Pray that God will make us to be the light that will shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Next, we will look at the call to full-time ministry in church. Throughout history, God has called men and women to full-time ministry to serve Him in specific roles, ministries in the church, and to proclaim the gospel in the mission field. God called Abraham to be the father of the chosen nation, Israel. And God called Moses to lead His people out of Egypt. Deborah was called to be a judge in Israel in a time where there was no king. Isaiah was called to preach repentance to the Israelites. Still, many were called for the moment in history for a special and unique purpose to serve God. And our Lord Jesus Christ called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and all fishermen, to become fishers of men in the gospel text that was just read for us by Reverend Chris. And He also called Matthew, a tax collector, and seven others. And these 12 men, together, they became famously known as the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 9, Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. And as the gospel was preached beyond Jerusalem, more responded to God's call. Barnabas, Timothy, Titus, Priscilla, Aquila, and others. We need to understand that the global spread of our Christian faith was made possible by men and women who understood their calling and saw their vocation and calling as the highest calling in life. And today we are beneficiaries because men and women have made sacrifices to bring the gospel to this part of Asia that we may be here to worship and to know God. Well, God has called most of us to serve Him full-time in the marketplace. Not all are called to serve Him full-time in church or in the mission field. Our Lord has set apart the fivefold ministries of the church, and these are roles to be filled by men and women whom He has chosen and called specifically. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, He, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And these are specific apostolic leadership, pastoral, and ministerial roles in the church, ordained by God to lead, to pastor, to equip, and to build up the body of Christ. But full-time ministry in church is not limited to the fivefold ministries. In Exodus 31, we read, God called Bezalel and Oholiab, and they were filled with the Spirit of God to create beautiful crafts for the temple of God. Likewise, there are those today who are called and are gifted to support the pastoral ministries of the church. Our vergers, our administrators, our finance team, our AV crews, our media team, estate team, and others. Their work is equally important to ensure the successful running and operation of the church. Today, we see a lot of things as running, and we don't see the people who put their hands to work to ensure that we have this place to worship. And these are our vergers, our workers, our estate team who have worked hard, and they too have responded to God's call to serve Him full-time in church. Full-time ministry in church is not to be pursued without a clear call from God, because this is a call to leave the marketplace and to make important and major sacrifices to serve Him in the church. Just as the disciples in Luke 5 were called to leave their fishing boats and nets behind them to follow Jesus Christ. To discern God's call to full-time ministry in church, you need people like pastors and leaders who can journey with you to affirm your calling in life. And remember how Paul affirmed Timothy in his ministry in 2 Timothy. For me, I'm thankful that I have two mentors who have journeyed with me and have affirmed my calling in life. And you too need to discern the deep desires that God has placed in your heart. Frederick Buechner, a Presbyterian pastor and theologian, writes, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." In other words, if you are to ask yourself, what makes me happy and what needs I care most about in the world, the answer to these two questions will usually point you to God's calling in your life. To respond to God's calling, let me begin with what you should not do. First, stop running away from God. Remember how Jonah ran away from God to Tarshish when he was called to go to Nineveh? So when God called me to full-time ministry in 1992, I too ran away. And it's interesting that my former vicar and bishop is here in our midst. Because when I was called to full-time ministry, I was running away, and I was running away from him. And a long story short, I thought I could be running away, I could be hiding away from God, and I could disappear from God's radar. Where did the guy disappear to? You know, let's forget about him. No, you can't. You can't hide from God. So I want to say to you, if God has called you, stop running from him. Secondly, stop procrastinating. We often give excuses. Wait, God, wait. Pastor says call to full-time ministry is a call to sacrifice. So let me have more time to make more money. Or wait until I accomplish all that I wanted to achieve in life. When Jesus called a man to follow him in Luke 9, the man responded, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Luke 9. Our Lord's reply to their request was quite cutting, isn't it? Was he being uncompassionate and heartless towards the two men? After all, their request seems rather legitimate, isn't it? No, not at all. But Jesus knew the hearts of these two men. They were distracted by their worries in life, and they were distracted by worldly desires. Time does not permit me to share my story, but I want to say to you, have faith in God and trust that he who calls you to full-time ministry in church or even to the mission field is more than able to take care of your needs. Amen. Now, in case some of you are asking, because for this particular congregation, many of you may be of a certain age and you're asking, does this still apply to me? I would say, yes. There's no limitation to how old you are for God to call you into the mission field today. So to respond to God's call, we need the faith of Isaiah. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And he, Isaiah, said, here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah 6:8. And probably the triune God was having a conversation in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Father was saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Was God uncertain about the person that he has chosen to go preach to Israel and call them to repentance? No, certainly not. But God is looking for someone with a willing heart. Isaiah overheard God's conversation, and it was at that moment he willingly and faithfully responded, Lord, here I am. Send me. What about you, my dear friends? Have you too heard the call of God to serve him full-time in church or in the mission field? Are you running away from him, or are you procrastinating? When we respond to God's call to serve him in the marketplace, in church, or in the mission field, we're essentially responding to God's call to fulfill the Great Commission, to continue the global redemption works of our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring hope into a darkened and broken world. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. God is looking for willing hearts today, my dear friends, to bring in the harvest in the marketplace, in church, and in the mission field for the kingdom of God. So, are you willing to respond in faith and say, Lord, here I am, send me? Let us pray. Father, we want to look to you this morning. Lord, we know so often our focus at work in the marketplace is to generate wealth for ourselves and to climb the corporate ladder. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Help us this day, we ask, that you will enable us to be your salt and light in the marketplace, in our agora, that we may be effective in sharing the gospel. And we pray for those that, Lord, whom you have put in our hearts to bring the gospel into the mission field or to serve you full time. Help us, Lord, to make this bold decision this day to say, Lord, here I am, send me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.